A62, Syllabus 2. Number 1A.
Now, this is the syllabus class number 2. And as you have been traveling all day and perhaps be a bit tired or so, I thought that this evening I would just give a little survey of what we are really trying to achieve with the syllabus class, and so I will not ask questions today. It will be different tomorrow. And I just want to review first the purpose and aim of a syllabus class. This syllabus class, and this is important to realize, is actually not for the beginner in Christian Science, though they deal with the very fundamentals of Christian Science. But this is a class really for students who have already, to a quite great extent, gained an overall view of the science, of Christian Science, of the divine system of reference, as we call it, so that he has an overall view, the holistic view of the whole thing, and then he usually says, now I have to get down and get those fundamentals clearly and rightly. And it is at that point, really, where the syllabus class should start in. The syllabus class, therefore, is more for giving advice and method for the study and not for inspiring the students who are sitting here, but much more to give them the method so that they can inspire themselves when they are studying at home and when they know how to study and what to study. We also feel that we can give in the syllabus class an ordered step-by-step way or method of how to get hold of the scientific fundamentals of Christian Science. Therefore, you should not really urge any other student to try to come into this class, but rather to invite them to take first the classes that deal with the fundamentals of Christian Science and then gently get into the syllabus class 1. This is much more healthier for the student. In presenting the subject in an ordered way, in a step-by-step way, we naturally give the method and the criteria for study. Therefore, if a student comes along and says, well, I know Christian Science already for 30 years, for 40 years, I think I will be entitled to come into this class, this is not a criterion. Because what we really want is that each student, sooner or later, is getting down to the textbook and is trying to find out for himself what we are teaching. At the beginning, we are teaching him what we have found. But he must make sure that what he has been taught by us is in the books, and that he can find it out in the books too, and that he can prove it in the books and through the books, so that he does not need to say, well, I learned this, Max has said that and that, and therefore it must be so. This is no criterion. Really, the textbook must be our fundamental teacher. Also, it is not enough to say, well, I take the tapes and I listen quickly through those 25, 30 hours of the syllabus class that was preceding. This is actually not the purpose of this syllabus class. The purpose of it is that the student himself is really pondering the textbook, is investigating the textbook, is living with his findings first, is maturing with his findings, and that whole process of thinking about it and turning it over in one's consciousness, pondering it, asking oneself question about it, trying to find oneself the answer for this question, this is really the most important part of the syllabus classes. Not the week we spend together is important, but that what happened during the whole year, that is important. Because that helps the student to make really the subject his own, so that it becomes subjective to the student and is not something he has learned with his brain by going through good notes or by just listening to the tapes. The tapes may be a help and a good help for many students, but the important thing is to really, like Jacob, struggle with the angel, struggle with the text, and to find out of that text what the text says in regard to our fundamentals. So the synonym study is a study that takes years. I think it is good for each one to realize that he doesn't have the attitude and say, well, seven synonyms, seven is not very much. Seven actually is something I can get hold before my breakfast. The seven synonymous term is a study that demands years and years and years of love, of pondering, of thinking about it. It's not something that we can get hold of just in a short time. And because they are so fundamental, I don't think that we should really be disturbed about the fact that it takes years, because the subject is God, the subject is our being, our very being, and I think we can easily spend 7 or 10 years on investigating the nature of being, of our being, by studying closely those seven synonymous terms. Also, I think I would say that one has to be a bit intelligent and wise about organizing one's work during the year, so that one doesn't feel a month or 2 months before the next seminar is on, oh, I haven't done anything about the syllabus assignment, I better get down now and do it. It is something one should do right through the year. Always a little bit to do it, so to say parallel perhaps with another subject which draws our attention, but to keep it steadily in mind and do it month by month by month, and only this way one has a feeling that the letter one studies becomes the spirit, that it sinks in and one gets the feel of the spirit of what one is studying. Now, I said the great point is actually that we are going to study our being, the one being which is also our being. And therefore I would like just to think over together the fundamentals that we are considering, namely the fundamentals of our new system of reference, the divine system of reference. In studying this divine system of reference, we can't help but making a paradigm shift of greatest importance, and that is forgotten only too easily. When I say we need a complete paradigm shift, then I use that term paradigm as it is used today all over in the scientific literature. It has come to the forefront since Kuhn has written his famous book on the structure of scientific revolution, and since then really that new concept has been dominant, so to say, in every line of scientific research. With a paradigm, we mean, if I put it very simply to the simple, most simplest denominator, a paradigm is really an accepted model of understanding reality. It's the accepted model of how to understand the subject, therefore the accepted model how to understand in Christian Science itself, or reality. This is called a paradigm. Or I could, in other terms, perhaps describe a paradigm as the generally recognized model of problem solving, a generally recognized model of problem solving. So this is a paradigm. And when I say what we are engaged in this syllabus class, is that we have to be aware that we go through a complete and quite extensive paradigm shift. We have to change the paradigm from an old paradigm to a completely new paradigm. Therefore, to change our way of how to understand the Christian Science textbook, the way we have been brought up through the movement, through the churches, through the accepted way up to now, that we have to make a complete shift and see that this old paradigm is no more working, that it is not good enough, that it does not really bring us very far, and that therefore we have to change that paradigm which was dominant in our thought and accept a completely new paradigm, therefore a completely new way of understanding reality, a completely new way of recognizing how to solve problems. This is a great point, because we know only too well that one tries usually to get hold of a new subject through an old paradigm, namely through the old way of understanding. And this never works. And that is the great point why somehow the whole idea of Christian Science does not unfold and does not blossom, because those who are adherent to Christian Science try with an old paradigm, with an old model of understanding, to understand something which is completely different, the new paradigm. So let's be aware that we are not just trying to extrapolate our present understanding to a further and further insight, but that we can leave behind an old way of understanding and start out with a complete new way of understanding. Mrs. Eddy gave us a new paradigm in two ways. Namely, the great question which we have is, what is reality? And the second question always is, how can we get hold of that reality? How can we approach that reality in understanding so that we can get hold of reality? These two big questions have undergone a terrific paradigm shift. The first big question, what is reality, Mrs. Eddy has presented in a complete new paradigm. Up to her time, one considered reality as that which could more or less be grasped through the human tools of understanding. Just as one has grasped any other subject in any other science through the same tools of understanding. If you were studying chemistry or physics or biology, we were using the old paradigm of how to understand this subject by human logic, by human thinking, by testing through the testimony of the physical senses and things like that. And therefore, in the old paradigm, one was approaching the question of reality in a human, materialistic way. So Mrs. Eddy came and said, reality is of a completely different nature than what the world up to now believes it is. The world does not consist of what you believe it consists of. It does not consist of matter and of people and of animals and of trees and of mountains and I don't know what. Mrs. Eddy gave a complete new paradigm of reality and said reality consists of spiritual ideas. Something completely different. She didn't somehow improve the old paradigm of what reality is and make it a little bit better. But she shifted that whole old concept of reality completely. And this is something which we have to consider because if we investigate our way of thinking, we soon find out, really, that we are still thinking in the old way and try to improve the old way. Whereas we should not try to improve the old way, but to get a new basis from which to start, a new paradigm. What is this new paradigm of reality that Mrs. Eddy presents? Before I come to the second one, how to understand reality, first the question, what is really that reality and how does Mrs. Eddy present that reality in our complete new paradigm? Mrs. Eddy gives us, as we know, a completely new system of reference. She gives us a divine system of reference. A system of reference which the old paradigm did not know. Therefore, it's no use to improve the old paradigm in order to arrive at the better one. It's a shift that is necessary, and the new paradigm, the new system of reference, Mrs. Eddy presents in those three big categories of reality. Those three big categories which we know as students now, namely, first category, the seven synonymous term illustrating the nature of reality. Then the second category, Word, Christ, Christianity, and Science as the operational way of reality. And then third category, the various dimensions of science, science itself, divine science, absolute Christian science, and Christian science, even taking in metaphysics, even taking in argumentation, and right down to the material, showing that reality is actually operating on various levels of understanding and of experience. So, in this way, Mrs. Eddy has introduced a completely new system of reference. A system of reference which we do not find in any religion, which we do not find in any philosophy, which we just don't find anywhere else. And this is what makes Christian science so unique, and therefore it is that which makes Christian science so difficult to understand for those who still are thinking in the old paradigm, because they can't understand it. Mrs. Eddy has given these three great categories and has shown the importance of it by capitalizing the language which she uses for these three categories. These three categories are the three categories of capitalized terms, again something which the world does not know. For the world, mind is not capitalized. For the world, science is not capitalized. So Mrs. Eddy gave us not only a new system of reference, but also the new terminology and language for that new system of reference. Which means, again, that there is a paradigm shift of language. That we have to shift from one language to another language in which the old paradigm language does not understand the new paradigm language. And that is usually not understood either. So the syllabus class that may go over a few years are actually concerned with investigating just these three great categories in an in-depth study, and thereby learning also the new language. So we can see that if we would not learn the new language, the divine system of reference would not be understood, could not be really grasped. We feel now that we must change our language, and this is not easy. And so we will use the syllabus classes for first pointing out where the language has to be changed, and then use it to exercise that new language, and then during the year you can make use of this new language. So, as Mrs. Eddy has shown a completely new aspect of reality, or the nature of reality, through the divine system of reference, naturally, we have to replace the old human system of reference and have to adopt the new system of reference. The old human system of reference just is not valuable, is no good for understanding the new system of reference. And naturally, why should we do that? What is really the purpose of it? The purpose of it is naturally that in the measure as we understand the divine system of reference, and in the measure that we are getting hold of the new language of spirit, that in that measure our consciousness transforms itself, and we know that consciousness determines our life experience. So in studying the new system of reference, we naturally are experiencing a new life, with new purpose in life, with new aim in life, but also with a new concept of what constitutes healing and of what constitutes a demonstration. Again, we will see that the old paradigm of what is a demonstration is not good enough for the new paradigm to show what is actually a true demonstration. All this we will experience over the years when we are really aware of this great paradigm shift. This is the paradigm shift, I said, of the question, what is reality? Then I said, but Mrs. Eddy also presents a new paradigm shift in regard to how to understand reality. Not only what is reality, but also in the method and way of how to understand reality. What is this new paradigm? And we said a paradigm is a model of understanding. It's a recognized model for problem solving. So what is really the new approach? Or we could say what was the old approach, so as to know what we should leave behind. Well, the old approach, which one was using in Christian Science, were of various nature. It was usually perhaps in the beginning, more a religious approach. We approached the textbook through religion, through a religious sense, with a religious purpose, with all what goes with it, with sentiment, with singing and hymns and organ playing and I don't know what. That's one way that one was trying to get hold of a science. Do you think that if somebody gives a lecture on physics, that we first sing a hymn? It's not quite believable nowadays. So you can see, because Christian Science was considered to be a religion, which is an old paradigm, it was also approached in a religious way, which was an old paradigm. Or it was then perhaps approached just through belief, through arguments, denying, affirming. This is an old paradigm that doesn't work in any science. A science is not a question of believing a truth or not believing a truth, of stating a truth or not stating a truth. Or it was inspirational, a very strong approach that was all over the field, that one felt one should approach the textbook and the meaning of the textbook through inspiration, and all what we need is individual inspiration and a wonderful lifting up of thought and so on, which had, again, nothing to do with science. Or then one was approaching it metaphysically, and one was feeling that a metaphysical approach is that what would do the trick, and what was involved in the textbook, not seeing really that Mrs. Eddy makes a great difference between metaphysics and science, because she says most books on metaphysics leave the grand point untouched. Namely, that mind as the savior. Mind, capital M. And therefore, she makes it very clear that metaphysics per se is not Christian Science. Only when we consider metaphysics from the point of view of science, then we get divine metaphysics. And then divine metaphysics is acceptable. So, metaphysics also is an old paradigm, because metaphysics says what? It says, I go above the physical, that which is above or after the physical, and therefore was reasoning from matter to idea, which is wrong. No truth is ever found by reasoning from error. No science in the whole world reasons from error to truth. Every science in the world reasons from truth to truth, and by the law of opposites uncovers error. So even the metaphysical, the purely metaphysical approach, is an old paradigm that is inadequate for our study and for our approach, so that we can see that we must really exchange that old approach for a new paradigm of understanding, which is then scientific understanding, which is the new paradigm of approach.